We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
You're about to experience a morning show unlike any other.
Shout out to the Breakfast Club. I hope to see you on air tomorrow.
What you guys are doing right now, it's the hub culture.
The Breakfast Club is my morning sit. I need it and I love it so much.
I feel like you're really not popping until you do the Breakfast Club.
I've been waiting to come to y'all's show, man. I know you got to be a big time celebrity to be up in here. You got to be big time.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne the God.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm dialing.
Hey, what you doing, man?
I'm calling you.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
This is Janelle.
Hey, Janelle, get it off your chest.
I just want to have a clue bomb drop for me on my birthday Saturday.
Okay. Happy born day, Janelle.
Hey, happy birthday. Hey. What are you doing this year?
Staying in house.
I just like to see what creative things people are doing for their birthday during this time, because my birthday is coming up too, and I don't think I'll be doing much either.
Well, we was gonna go to Sloppy Chops, me and my husband.
Oh, I love Sloppy Chops. Sloppy Chops. They open.
What you is can Sloppy go by Chops?
No, we're gonna get takeout.
They're only doing takeout now. Yes.
We're only
the restaurants
are
closed.
Sloppy Chops is a restaurant in Detroit. What up, though? They serve the most amazing seafood and steaks and food. I went there, like a week ago? 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
BET actually just did a giveaway with them yesterday for families, and they just gave away free food all day.
It's a bunch of brothers that own that. They own a couple of, another one called Slappy Crabs, I believe.
Crabs. Yep. Yeah, downtown Detroit. Downtown
I love
Detroit.
It. Brothers doing their thing, man.
Yes. So clap it up for Janelle. Clap it up
okay,
for you guys.
Okay, Janelle, happy birthday. Yeah.
Happy birthday, and I'm proud of you guys for this interview. I'm proud of you guys for everything you guys are doing. Congratulations. God bless you guys. God bless the world. Let's heal together, and let's get this coronavirus under control.
Thank you, Janelle. Okay. Beautiful Sagittarius. Amen. My wife is a Sagittarius.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is King Gemini, man. How y'all doing?
What's up, brother? Get off your chest.
All right, so last night, right, I was performing oral sex with my girl and all that, right? And she's about to climax, and she farts in my face, man.
Oh, you got pink eye.
Oh, that means you was doing it real good.
It means you got pink eye.
Shout out to you.
You know what? I ain't got pink eye, but real quick. Hey, Charlamagne, can you do me a huge favor, man?
I will not fart on you. Don't you dare ask me to.
No, I was wondering if you could send me a book or something, man, and have Barack Obama sign it for me. That would be great.
What?
I don't have it. I only have one copy of A Promised Land.
Man.
I only have one. He only sent us three copies. He sent one for each of us. And I'm actually sending mine to my mom, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm sending.
And somebody stole mine in the mail, so I had to go buy another one.
Man, I was really hoping on that one, though.
If I had it, it was yours.
I mean,
I got a copy of Dr. Rita Walker's book up here.
Oh, yeah, hey, I'll take that. You got it for me, man.
And I'll send you a copy of mine. It's not like I sold 1.7 in the first week like Barack did.
I do well too.
In the book world, though.
Yeah, I know. I actually listen to your books. I ain't read them yet, though, but, you know, I listen to them.
I'm gonna put you on hold,
and they're gonna get your address. We're gonna mail it out to you, brother.
Hold on, Stinky Eye. Hello, who's this?
This is Jenna. Good morning.
Good morning. Get it off your chest.
All right. So, Charlamagne.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, yesterday, my husband went up for parole. Okay. He's been locked up for like 19 years. I actually wrote a letter to President Obama a few years ago to see if he could maybe be pardoned. So long story short, my husband goes up for parole. They give him 10 more years. Mm. Crazy.
Why?
I don't know. I didn't ask why. I didn't care. I said, what's up? You know what I'm saying? Like, you coming home or not? He like, nah, they gave me 10 years. And I'm like, some bullshit. You my friend. That was crazy. I think they need to get men out here that don't take care of their kids 10 years. Period.
So he already did 19 and they gave him another 10 and didn't tell him why they gave him another 10?
He said that they told him his case plan was messed up. Something dealing with the case managers. And I'm like, this is ridiculous because he committed a crime, but he paid his time. And he got a whole family out here. Like, I'm struggling to take care of my 9 kids and my husband in prison. It's crazy.
Something had to happen. Right. He must have did something in prison for them to give him another 10 years.
You know what, Charlamagne? Like, honestly, I don't know. I wasn't able to watch his hearing. Normally, they can let you watch it live stream. I wasn't able to. It wasn't aired. So I'm like, that was God, you know what I'm saying, telling me to let me fall back and go ahead and let me handle this. I don't know what happened in that hearing. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. But I just had to get out of my chest. I've been crying since yesterday. And it's like, this shit is real. It's real.
I'm so sorry, Mama.
I wish I could tell you something to help you, but I don't even know what to say to you at a time like this, to be honest.
I know. It's okay. Like, no one has anything to say. It's all good. My kids keep giving me encouraging words. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be strong. I'm up early. I couldn't even sleep last night. I'm up early. Like, what am I about to do with my life? 10 more years of being dedicated to a man in prison. I love him to death. That's my nigga. Like, I love him with all my heart. But...
Right.
Yeah, you can't do his bid with him, you know, and you know, supporting him is one thing, but you can't put your life on hold.
Man, I'm cool. I done had sex. You know what I'm saying? I'm 45. I done had enough sex to last me the rest of my life. I'm cool. I'm waiting for my man to come home. But I just think it's crazy.
We praying for you, ma.
Absolutely, ma.
Yes, we are.
Lord have mercy. I wish I could do something else, but I don't know what else to do.
Thank you for calling. Good luck and try to enjoy the holidays, mama. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Let's go. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Oh, it's Anthony. Good morning. DJ MV, Charlamagne, God, Angelique.
Good morning,
Peace King.
Good morning. I want to start by saying congratulations on you guys' Radio Hall of Fame induction.
And, Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem. Envy, you invited Charlamagne on a bike ride. And I just want to let you guys know that I'll say that Envy invited you on Charlamagne on a bike ride. And apparently, bike riding can lower men's testosterone and cause erectile dysfunction because of the pressure that it causes when you sit on the bike seat. It puts pressure on the on that space that's called perineum, and it can slow the blood flow. So I'm not trying to discredit you guys, or I'm not trying to stop you from riding bikes, but...
Yeah, sure. I got gel for him, though, brother. I got some gel for him, so he'll be all right. I got some nice gel for him to make sure he's all right.
You think he's trying to sabotage... You think he's trying to sabotage Charlamagne?
I can't call it one way or another, you know.
It definitely sounds like some sort of infiltration, penetration. Something he wants to do to my perineum. That'd be a dope Bobby Brown remake. It's my perineum. Where's the perineum at? It's like in between your balls and your monkey?
Yeah, that's the medical term for it. It's called the perineum. I just found that out.
Thank you. Know. You learn something new every day here on The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, you gotta protect our Hall of Famers. You know, you can't let the Hall of Famers go out like
that's
that,
right.
You
know?
But I got some gel pants for you, Charlamagne. You be good, man.
No.
Gel pants take care of everything between your ass and your penis.
Bro, you're not getting my perineum, King.
I don't want your perineum. Hello, who's this? Hello? Hello?
It is Morato.
Oh, shoot.
Morato.
Delayed response.
That's a very original name. Yeah. I've never heard that before.
Where you calling from?
I'm calling from Angola, Africa.
Africa. All right.
Africa.
Wow. All right.
The motherland. What's happening?
Get it off your chest.
Good morning.
All right.
Good morning, DJ Envy. Good morning, Charlamagne the God.
What's up, King?
Good
How
morning,
you?
Angela Yee.
Good morning.
Now, it's a very long distance call. I might spend here $100 just to make this call. I just want to say that this show is amazing. You guys are doing an incredible job, and I listen to you every day on my Apple Podcast, and I don't even know if the program was live. I just called.
Okay.
Some positivity.
Yeah.
We what you guys are doing, and keep inspiring us all.
What time is it in Africa right now, in Angola? What time is it?
It's 11:16.
Okay.
P.M. or A.M.?
A.M.
Okay.
All right.
Good to talk to you, brother.
Hello, who's this?
What are we, comedians?
Shayna.
Hey, Shayna, get it off your chest.
I just want to thank God for this day.
That's right.
You know, I know. Look, I'm thank God for this day, for this job. I'm so blessed. I'm highly favored. I got my own business. And I just want to just thank God. That's all, guys.
Shayna, you're not just blessed and highly favored. You're blessed, black, and highly favored.
You're absolutely right. I am blessed, black, and highly favored. And I just want to thank God for it.
Thank you, ma'am. Mama. Hello, who's this?
Hey, man, what's up? This is Reckless TV. How y'all doing?
What's up, Reckless TV? Get it off your chest.
I wanted to speak about college. I did trade school. I did 2 years for HVAC and electricity, and I can work anywhere in the United States. I'm 23 years old, and nobody's doing trade no more. Everybody's trying to be doctors and lawyers. So right now, trade school is the best thing you can do.
I agree.
After I graduated, my teacher came to me and said I should go for another 4 years and I'd be guaranteed to make six figures and I can go anywhere in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So trade school is popping right now because ain't nobody really doing it and everybody needs help with HVAC and air conditioning.
Yeah,
man, I met this guy the other day, I think when I was in D.C., man, he ran up on me and he was like, man, thank you for always talking about trade school because I went to trade school and I've been gainfully employed for 40 plus years.
There you go.
I forgot what he said he did.
Alex!
What's up?
Get it off your chest, Alex.
What is Envy the Don?
Yes, sir. What's up, brother?
Envy the Don.
My man, what's up, Envy the Don? Got that bread. Jay-Z got that billion, huh?
Yeah, Jay-Z got a billy.
Oh, got a billy.
Got a billy. How did he get it? Do we learn from Jay or do we from Nipsey Hussle? Which one?
You said what?
Do we learn from Nipsey Hussle or do we learn from Jay-Z?
You learn from both of them. You had more than one teacher in school, didn't you?
Yeah, hopefully you learn from a lot of people
every day. What
are you
talking about? Why y'all say such stupid things? Seriously, why do you wake up in the morning and just like say things that you give no thought to whatsoever? So you only learn from one person throughout your whole life?
Nah, Charlamagne, we ain't got to go like that, Charlamagne.
I'm just saying, you know who Nipsey Hussle learned from? His OGs. He learned from Elijah Muhammad, Message to the Black Man. Elijah Muhammad was always talking about doing for self and owning your own. So what are we talking about here? We learn from a lot of different people in life.
Don't forget that bag to get that mail.
All right, man. Have a blessed day.
Peace, bro.
y'all just pissing me off this morning. What's up with y'all this morning, man?
They're getting it off their chest, Charlamagne. Let's just let them talk.
They do sound a little stupid this morning. Michael!
Hey, how's it going, brother? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, neighbor!
Get it off your chest, Michael.
Yep, I'm calling from Delaware Beach, but I love you guys. I'm always listening to the show. You guys are amazing.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you so much, man.
You're welcome. Charlamagne the guy, I love you, brother.
I appreciate
the work and everything, man. We love you, bro.
I love you too, my brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, King.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. What up, y'all? It's DJ Envy.
Hey, I'm Angela Yee.
And I go by the name of Charlamagne Tha God, and we just want to say happy holidays from all three of us.
All three of y'all.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's topic time. Pick up the phone, baby. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with the Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. So we're asking 800-585-1051. Have you ever got caught watching porn? Now, me, I haven't. Because I never watched porn. I didn't have any older brothers, so I couldn't buy magazines. I didn't have any VHS.
Your parents
no friends
didn't have any in,
no,
in the house?
Like, my parents had a stash. You got to remember, my dad's a retired cop. He's a retired cop, but he was a police officer. So there was, like, you don't go in his room because you don't know what he has in there. Like, I didn't want to go in there and bump into a gun or bump into something. So I kind of stayed away from my dad's stuff. But what I would do
They had all kind of freaky things in there. They probably had that swing.
I'm sure. But what I would do is, like, let's say 153 was the porn channel. So on your remote control, if you go 153, 154, 153, 154, 153, 154, it's super old school. But it would pop up and you could get to see a little bit of the porn. That's all I, you know, was able to do. So I never got caught. And I never caught my son. Like, when I go in my son's room now, I kind of make a little noise because I don't wanna walk in on him and be like, yeah, you know. But I'm sure Charlamagne got caught. I'm positive he got caught.
Well, I haven't got caught watching porn, but I got caught with porn. Now, keep in mind, I'm 42 years old, so I grew up in this era where we had this thing called Trapper Keepers, okay? And I know you kids don't know what a Trapper Keeper is, but just know it was more than a school supply. It was a status symbol, okay? And I know Trapper Keeper sounds like your drug-dealing boyfriend who your mama said is a good man, but no, it was a folder. And Trapper Keepers were so big and bulky, I could put pages out of porno magazines in these folders, and I absolutely did that. And I'll never forget, I was in this single wide trailer I grew up in Monk's Corner, South Carolina, and I was on the top bunk. And my Jehovah Witness English teacher, beautiful mom, for some reason came in and opened that Trapper Keeper. And the panic I felt in that moment, I can still feel right now. I can taste that trauma in my mouth, okay? And my mom hit me with those dreaded words, wait until your dad gets home. And when my dad got home, I heard them in the kitchen discussing it. And my daddy said, so you want me to punish my son because he looking at porn? So he came in the room and had to act like he was disciplining me, but he just said, hey man, find a better place to hide that goddamn porn from your mama, okay? Which I never understand why your mom was mad at you for looking at porn. Because she loves the grandkids, but mad at you for looking at porn porn.
Back then, I didn't understand. All I would see was just, it was a bush. And I'd be like, why is that bush there? It's just a big bush. Nobody else.
Not anymore.
I never thought about that. I just thought that's how porn porns came. I thought the hair was the pom-pom. I was like, oh, shoot.
Well, you know, I have an older brother. So I remember we used to watch Purple Rain all the time, and he would always pause it on the part where Apollonia coming out of the waters of Lake Minnetonka, and he would rewind it and rewind it. And
while
rewind it. And I could not watch that movie with him because I was like, dude, I want to watch the rest of the movie. So,
you know what's so crazy
that was
about
annoying.
That? All those 80 movies were soft porn. Like, you know, if you could stay up late, mm-hmm. HBO used to be playing
HBO.
Oh. Porky's Revenge.
Was
you
it
was
HBO
guaranteed...
After Dark or was it Showtime After Dark? One of them has some.
Showtime After Dark, but on HBO, you was guaranteed.
Cinemax really had it. Remember,
it was Cinemax.
Definitely.
Cinemax. Goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm. You now, guaranteed I'll... to see an areola on one of them.
Absolutely. Now, Al Borddorf actually got caught by his mom, and he was actually, you know, I guess stroking the dragon.
Now, drama is Spanish.
Why don't you can say masturbating.
This is crazy.
He was stroking
the
dragon.
That's what she was doing with the Goya drum.
Go ahead.
I was, you know, I was laying hands on myself and
playing with the one-eyed
monster. Excuse me? What do you mean? Masturbating?
Don't make it sound religious.
What do you, how do you say masturbating in Spanish?
Laying hands on myself.
Okay, yeah,
how do you say it in Spanish?
Masturbato.
And she walked in as, you know, I had my stuff out, so I pulled the covers over real quick. I tried to play it off like I was checking for lumps.
So you kept going?
No, I mean, I made it seem as if I was like, you know, examining
myself. How do you make it seem like that? How do you make it seem like that? Did you say it?
Yeah, I mean, she saw me touching myself, so I was like, oh, yeah, I'm just, you know, checking for lumps. In health class, they said guys, that guys should check the testicles for, you know, lumps and things like that.
This was last year,
Man. I was in high school.
No, this was last year.
High school.
Yeah. I was 20.
So what do you... So if your mom walks in and says, are you masturbating? Do you say, see?
Man, shut up, bro.
That's weird. That's weird to say to your mom with your penis in your hand.
It doesn't matter what race you are, bro. It's weird either way. It was
last. Yeah, but it's weird when you got your...
Did you say estoy viniendo?
No. What?
He said el masturbato.
Man, shut up.
It's just weird to have your penis in your hand and be looking at your mom saying, see?
See? Stupid. 800-585-1051. We got time for one call?
Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up, Envy? Hey, Yee.
Oh,
what's
man.
Up,
Charles?
Trav, hey, baby.
Trav. So, Trav, how did you get caught masturbating, Trav?
So, I didn't cut. So, look, I was in, I follow a lot of porn accounts on Twitter, right? If anybody know, the best porn nowadays is on Twitter. So,
really?
I was in church, minding my business, just scrolling down. Mind you, I wasn't watching porn. I was scrolling down my timeline, and my cousin was sitting behind me, saw me scrolling my timeline, and saw it come across. And just assumed I was watching porn in church and told my aunt I was watching porn in church, but I wasn't watching it. I literally was just scrolling my timeline.
You sure?
I don't believe you. Have you ever got caught masturbating? That is the question. Playing with the one-eyed monster.
You
or
didn't
lady.
Say that now. We didn't say masturbating. I thought we just said, have you ever been caught watching porn? You're a freak. Trav calls up here talking about that, and all of a sudden you want to talk about masturbating. Or was it drama?
No, it started with dramas, and then Trav. It was those two.
Ain't nobody
right?
said nothing about no masturbating. We said porn.
He did.
Have you ever been caught with porn?
Dramas did. Yes, he did. But anyway, have you ever got caught with porn? That's the question. Sorry, guys. Call us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Call me.
Add your opinion to The Breakfast Club topic.
Come on.
800-585-1051.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're asking, have you ever got caught with porn? Let's go to the phone lines. A lot of people on the lines. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Vino.
Hey, Vino. You ever got caught with some porn, brother?
Man, Envy. I'm going to tell you, when I was in the sixth grade, my mama came home early. I done fell asleep, done w***ed off real good. I'm in the sleep. I'm dreaming that the garage door opened, but I really didn't know that the garage door opened until I heard her yell my name. Hey, boy, what you doing naked? I'm naked. She looking at me crazy. You already know how I go after that.
Yeah, we know.
So you telling me what you just told us is that you f***ed yourself to sleep.
Every time I go to sleep. I don't know about you, but I'm going to sleep.
Even when you do it
every
to yourself?
Time?
Damn right. That's the best one.
So hey, you can't brother. Even go twice?
I mean, if she bad, I done went twice now, see? I done went
you
twice.
Liar.
Okay. You said my you brother. Go to sleep.
Not with myself. By myself.
You that's what I'm concerned about. I want you to be more kind to yourself. All right? You don't got to do that to you.
No. Why I got to go two rounds with myself? I'm trying to get in and get out.
He's savage with himself. Look at him. He went a quickie with himself.
You got to teach yourself better, man. You got to teach yourself better than that,
bro. I mean, you really
did. I got off and got out of there and went to sleep.
You effing yourself to sleep. And what did your mama say?
She didn't say nothing. She just, you know, that's part of puberty.
He said, she just like you, just like your daddy. Every time he go to sleep on me, too.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, brother.
Just like your daddy.
Thank you, man.
Lazy.
800-585-1051. Have you ever got caught with porn? Hello, who's this?
It's Brandy.
Hey, Brandy. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Have you ever got caught with some porn?
Unfortunately, I did.
What happened?
Okay, listen, I was FaceTiming my husband because I travel for work. And I happened to stop in my hometown, which is Lexington, Kentucky. and I have an air conditioning unit in my old bedroom. So I had everything set up, and, you know, I'm really going. And my mom and dad busting room like, are you okay? Wow. They heard me from outside and thought I was dying.
Oh, my goodness.
Can I ask you a question? How would you have your parents would have busted in the room and said, what's that smell?
Well, you know what? Luckily, we didn't have that problem. It was just so embarrassing.
Yo, what's wrong with you, man?
What's that smell?
She didn't say she didn't have a smell. She just said that would have been embarrassing. But still, what's wrong with you?
Did you get Captain D's?
Thank you. Let's go to another phone line. Hello, who's this?
What's going on? My name is Dev.
Hey, Dev, you got caught with some porn, brother?
Yeah, man. So, like, I was in sixth grade. So I used to miss the bus a lot in school. So I missed the bus one day in sixth grade, and my dad was like, all right, I'll take you. We driving in the car. It's just me and him. Cornered me, he like, yeah, so I was cleaning out my computer and I noticed a whole bunch of viruses. He's like, I want you to know this is safe, you know, for young men, but you know, this ain't really the way to explore your body. I'm like, gotcha.
It's not the way.
So first of all, so what's the way to explore your body then? I'm just curious. What did your father tell you?
He wanted me to wait. My dad was a pastor at the moment too, so it probably wasn't a good look.
Man, that man was sleeping with everybody in the church.
Don't say that. Don't put that out there, man.
They do say that porn kind of ruins how people have sex because they have, like, unrealistic expectations and the way that, I don't know.
All right, makes it better.
All these studies about it.
Because you learn so much stuff at such an early age, and you got so many different tricks that you can try.
But I don't know that normally it's very loving.
Huh?
So my girl not complaining?
To you.
Not to you. Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, thank you, brother.
Look, his girlfriend probably be like, why does he always show up with pizza and then whips his penis out and throws me on the bed?
Too much Bang Bros.
Well, so what's the moral of the story, guys?
I don't think there is a moral. I mean, I think that, you know...
I think the moral of the story is explore your sexuality however you have to do it, but you might get caught.
Yeah, and it's so difficult, man, because I just don't know how you would discipline your kids, being that you know you've been that child before.
You've done it,
you know
absolutely.
What I'm saying? Like, what do you tell them in that moment?
Lock the door, you know, do it in the privacy of your own room. I mean, what do you tell them?
You can't say that because you really don't want them to do it. You know what I mean? You don't, like, I don't know, man. Sex is such a natural thing.
You don't think it's normal, though? You don't think it's normal for kids?
It is.
I would rather them masturbate than actually indulge in having sex with people. So
think about how accessible it is right now, too. A lot more accessible than when we were growing up. All they have to do is look at their phone.
You know what, though? It is something to that because I thought masturbation was wrong. And the first time I masturbated is because I had a broken heart. So I was used to, you know, having sex with my then girlfriend. So when I masturbated, I felt so bad and I cried because I felt like, you know, she wasn't with me anymore. And so I was reduced to masturbating. Like literally the first time I ever masturbated, I cried because I thought I was doing something wrong. Shut up.
You got to use a Vino. That was probably too rough for you, boo-boo.
First of all, I don't even know if a Vino was around back then. Okay.
Well, don't use Noxzema.
Yeah, don't use Noxzema.
I don't know what I was using back then. That's probably why I didn't.
So you didn't even cry? That's why you cried.
So you're not even good to yourself.
That's why I was crying.
You couldn't please her and you couldn't please yourself.
Like, I'm a loser. I can't even make myself.
I was giving myself that dap, that dry ass palm. That's why I was crying. Now that I think
goodness
about it.
Gracious. All right. Well,
we're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with the Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. If you just joined us, it's Friday, so you know what that means.
It's Freaky Friday.
And today's Freaky Freaky Friday topic or question is phone sex with the Breakfast Club, all right?
Yeah.
So let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Good morning. This is Mrs. XX.
All right, Mrs. XXX, who do you want to have phone sex with this morning?
I think I want to have phone sex with Charlamagne.
All right, go.
Hi, caller. How can I please you?
Oh.
Hi, caller.
Hello?
Hi, caller. How can I please you?
I would like a meat lover's pizza.
Wow. No okay, we know you would.
You want a meat lover piece? He wants sausage, mama.
A little pizza fantasy.
He wants
beef
sausage,
and turkey.
All the sausage.
Light cheese, because I'm lactose intolerant.
Oh, I have all the meat that you need. I'm a 42Z with a 14 waist and a big old booty. Got tattoos and all the right places for you to s**t on.
Damn.
Okay, can I get some She's chicken serious. Wings also and an order of breadsticks, please?
What would you like, breast or thigh?
Flats. You have flats?
Well, how about I rub on the misses where I feed you your flats?
Oh, now there you go.
Okay. I don't think I want any dessert, ma'am.
Shorty swing my way.
But I do see that y'all have the 10 mini cinnamon rolls, the Cinnabon mini rolls. Are the ultimate Hershey's chocolate chip cookie. You know what? I will
You're
take
no
the ultimate
fun
Hershey's
on Freaky Friday, sir.
Cookie.
Yeah, goodbye, man. Thank you, mama.
Don't you call up here flirting with no old, washed-up, married man. I don't even know how to do it no more.
800-585-1051.
Like
hello, who's this?
I'm nervous. Because I'm nervous. My anxiety hello? Kicking in.
What are you sitting on?
Joe from Newark.
Joe, what's up, man? Go ahead. Do phone sex with Charlamagne. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, what's going on, Charlamagne? You always hiding behind all them waffle-colored Negro jokes. Why don't you go ahead and let it out right now and tell me all the things you want to do to me. Pretend I'm DJ Envy.
Whoa. You gotta go to him, brother. You gotta go hard on him.
You ever been in a Bentley before? You ever been in a Bentley, my brother?
Woo, what you wanna do in that Bentley?
Have I been in a Bentley? Let me tell you something. First of all, don't ever disrespect me and ask me if I've been in a Bentley, because broke don't deserve no bussy. Okay? Of course I've been in a goddamn Bentley.
That's right. You tell him.
Tell him all them things you think about doing when you're looking over there at me.
I don't even know you. How can I look at you? We're not on Zoom together.
We're not on Zoom together, but we could be.
No, we can.
Ask him. Ask him if he knows how to drive stick.
Yeah, ask him that.
You know he do. You know he do.
Ain't you from Newark? I thought Newark was Brick City, not Dick City.
Trick City. Tell him it's Trick City.
All right, thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
Freaky Friday. Newark gonna be whatever City. You want it to be today, my brother.
Yes. I like the fluidity.
Yes.
I like the fluidity. Drop one of the food bombs for fluidity.
Okay. All right. Let's go to one more. I like this.
He's
I like
still
the way
rocking.
I like the way
He's
this
still
is going.
Back and forth.
I'm nervous. That's I'm a married man.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, it's Say.
Hey, Say. Who you want to have phone sex with?
Angela Yee. I had to do the
go ahead. I like this. Go ahead. Go.
Okay, Angela, I'm a nurse. We're going to role play, okay?
All right now. Coronavirus test?
Coronavirus test, right. You
go.
Tested positive.
Pick it up her nose.
What?
Go.
This already sucks, this scenario.
You tested positive, so that means you're being naughty.
Okay.
Boom.
Listen, that's not a fun scenario. I tested positive for coronavirus. I'm turned off.
Porno ever. You're a nurse. You test positive for coronavirus. You've been naughty. I'm like, where are you going with this?
You have chlamydia.
Which is like better. The guy from Brick City said you know how to drive stick, Charlamagne.
He disrespected me because he asked me if I've ever been in a Bentley before. So that means he think this pussy is broke.
Hello, who's this?
Victoria.
Hey, Victoria, who do you want to have phone sex with?
I could tell.
I want to have phone sex with Charlamagne and Yee.
Oh, me and Yee?
Yes, I'm going to take that chocolate milk dud head of yours and between my legs while
it's going to melt.
My
All right, it sounds like I have the least amount of work to do in this scenario.
So, Victoria, what does it smell like, Victoria? You tell us.
It smells wonderful, like flowers.
It's going to smell like milk dud after.
Oh, Victoria, let me ask you something. What size pants do you wear, Victoria?
I wear a size 7 to a 9.
Okay.
I'm a nice looking lady. You can check out my Instagram.
Just making sure my milk dud head ain't under no fupa.
No, you should put that
milk dud in the other hole. Chocolate for chocolate. There you go.
Chocolate for chocolate. There you go. He likes eating the chocolate.
Double chocolate penetration.
Thank you, mama.
If hello. Coming out the other hole, I might be a doo-doo kernel instead of a milk.
You might be a turd. Hello, who's this?
Danielle.
Hey, Danielle. Phone sex with the Breakfast Club. Who you want to have sex with? Or phone sex?
Envy.
Whoop, whoop. My God versus my envy.
Let's go. Make him sweat. I want to see that goddamn Beijing run down his chin this morning. Let's go. Yeah. Make him sweat, baby.
Hello?
Hello.
Is anyone there?
She hung up.
Dramos got jealous. Dramos got jealous. Dramos got jealous. He did not want nobody flirting with his boo envy. Wow. I knew it.
She hung up.
No, let me tell you something. You see what sex with envy is like? She hung up. Wow. That's how terrible it was.
Wow. Dramos got jealous and hung up because you don't want nobody flirting with bae.
There you go.
She hung up.
Hello, who's this?
Mm-hmm.
It's Tim from the D.
Okay, now.
Tim, have phone sex with Charlamagne. Go, brother.
Charlamagne, I want to have phone sex with Ashley Lee.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I have phone sex with Ashley Lee.
Go ahead, brother.
Really?
I'm glad you're asking consent.
I just wanted you to take off them saggy Jabot jeans you be wearing. I've been thinking about
that was a long time ago.
You went to both GG. You got to get out of Detroit.
I seen you on that talk to Tijuana Jack, and you was just looking so fine. Well, man, I wanted you to talk to me and tell me how I can make your day better. Baby. Take them pants off. I'm going to get my lotion.
Okay, you know what I need you to do? Instead of that lotion, get some Bengay.
Bengay?
Yeah, put some Bengay on it. Rub it. Yes. That's why you don't like pain?
Yeah. Oh, you're choking me, baby.
All right, I'm going to choke you. You're going to put Bengay all over you.
Okay, I'm putting it on right now.
I'm going to tie you up.
Tie me up, baby. Tie me up. Yeah.
And then we're going to go on live.
Now, make him put his thumbs on mine.
Oh, no.
Charlamagne, what you want him to do? Now, Charlamagne's in the room.
Don't whisper him.
I can't perform with a man in the room. Oh, my God.
Charlamagne said, he wants you to put your thumb in butt.
I'll put my thumb in ass, lady.
All right, goodbye, man. Goodbye, man. Goodbye, man. Let's go to one more, man. Let's
hey, what the hell is wrong with these people, man? What's wrong with the
what's
show?
What's wrong with you?
What's
wrong
with you? Show, man?
You could have asked him to do anything. This is Charlamagne.
He came in the room.
Tell me
put he entered the room. Charlamagne entered the chat.
I was trying to put something together with the Bengay, and he had put his thumb there, and then I would have said something like, yo, you Bengay, but it didn't get there.
All right, well, there's no moral of the story. That was freaky, freaky, freaky Friday.
Keep it locked. We have more coming up next. It's The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club is back.
Back.
Bring it back. With our best of interviews.
morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have some special guests on the line today.
That's right.
Carrie Champion and Jamel Hill. Welcome, ladies.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
So, Jamel, is it ironic that you have this show now, Stick to Sports, with Carrie? And just 3 years ago, you were tweeting out about how Donald Trump is a white supremacist and he's supported by white supremacists. It was an issue then, but now look at where we are.
Well, the title of the show is more ironic than anything. And I think Carrie put it best, is that this is really kind of a middle finger to a lot of the people that not only tried to silence athletes who wanted to use their voice and their platform to bring awareness to various issues, from Colin Kaepernick to LeBron James.
Yeah.
But also to us. I mean, we were pretty high profile people at ESPN. You guys obviously are familiar with what I went through. Carrie went through similar struggles, especially internally at ESPN. So this is to all those people who try to, you know, just silence Black people, period. This is like your whole Stick to Sports campaign didn't work. And now we're at a point where sticking to sports is not even optional. And so it just goes to kind of show you that despite sometimes a lot of backlash, you may receive controversies or what have you, that ultimately the side of right will prevail, even if it's a slow climb to, you know, to that, to things being prevailed on that end. So like, so for us, this is really just kind of a, you know, a big fuck you. It's all good.
Don't you think somebody at ESPN owes you an apology though? Because they literally didn't want you to talk about issues revolving around social justice. And that's pretty much all they talk about now.
But I mean, I got the best apology there is. It's called a check.
It just seems very hypocritical at ESPN, because, you know, I be seeing them now, like they be having our good sister Angela Rye on ESPN, and I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, I
didn't
saw
know that
one day, and I was like, what in the matter is this?
Exactly.
Wow.
So I just think that's kind of, I think that's very hypocritical at ESPN, personally.
Yeah, I mean,
they are hypocrites.
Yeah, I mean, it's an uncomfortable time for a lot of these companies. It's not just ESPN. They have had reckonings that have happened inside the building. You know, there was a lot of, you know, we both still have friends at ESPN. There's been a lot of conversations inside the building about, you know, they need to be much like many of the others in corporate media and just corporations, period. Before they need to, you know, putting out these little pretty ass statements is one thing, but like, can you address what's happening inside of your building? Can you address the fact that you have a very, a low number of, you know, Black decision makers in key positions? That's the stuff that they have to deal with. So before you put out any statements and put out any specials, deal with that part of your business. And I think ESPN is just in a long line of people having to face
that are doing that.
Yeah, that are doing that and having to face that internal reckoning.
You look at, you know, some people that say, you know, hey, I get politics all day long, and when I want to watch sports, I just want to watch sports. And then you give some people that say, no, I want politics to be part of sports because it all matters. So how do you play that line to decide how far you go when you're talking about politics and sports?
I think that our show, Stick to Sports, is a little bit of everything. I just, you know what, I hate the idea, the premise that sports and politics do not integrate, because they do. They intersect, and they've intersected since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. I think it's unfortunate that we've lied to America, or people have believed the lie, more importantly, that the two don't intersect. People who say stick to politics only want to hear about it when it's not favorable in whatever they believe. So if Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for cancer, we wouldn't even be here today. This wouldn't even be a conversation. But kudos to LeBron, because LeBron is very aware of the fact that they just want him to be a player, right? But he's like, because I am arguably the greatest, the biggest athlete of all time, that's a whole nother debate, I'm going to make sure that I put my name in this conversation.
I love LeBron's activism, but do you think that he's even more intentional about his activism because he knows that's what separates him from MJ? Being that he knows he'll probably never catch MJ on the court?
That's such a hater question. That is a hater question.
There was no hate right in that question at all.
Actually, you know what, Charlamagne? You're asking it, you should be asking it in the inverse. Is Michael Jordan being more intentionally socially aware? Because whenever we start that player debate about who's better, LeBron or Jordan, one of the things people always bring up is, well, maybe he isn't as equal to Michael Jordan as a player, but he's a better humanitarian. And my two cents is that I think it's Michael Jordan understanding through LeBron that this is something that he's got to rectify when it comes to his perception, because that's the most negative thing people say about Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Well, Jamel, talk about this encounter that you had with Michael Jordan. Expand on that.
See, I didn't roll up on Michael Jordan. What happened was he actually spotted Carrie. This is a few years ago at NBA All-Star Weekend in Toronto. And, you know, we snuck into his party. Like, we were no bliss. And Carrie, I don't know if you remember this, the person, I'm pretty sure that we snuck in with, because we did that whole...
Was it Draymond?
No, I think it was Paul George.
Oh, okay.
I snuck in with Lala. Lala walked in and I'm moving right with Lala. But go ahead.
See what I'm saying? Like, that's how you do it, right? That's that, like, that's that.
So they put their hand up in front of Envy, like, okay, sir.
You already know when you women, you it's much easier for you to do. They like, all right, whatever. So we go to the VIP where I think Drake was DJing. And everybody's in there. It's like, you know, Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook and D-Wade and, you know, all the people. And
Jordan. Mm-hmm.
Yep, all of those. And Jordan was in there. And so he stopped Carrie because he recognized her.
But mind you, all night long, at that time, it wasn't cool to be friends with people in the media. Jamel was on His and Hers and I was on First Take. And you have to realize, I had just a First Take. A lot of the players didn't like what people on First Take had to say. They didn't like His and Hers because it was all about opinion. So you have to understand, no one was really talking to us in that party. So Jamel, pick up the story from there.
Of course, you know, y'all know my background. I'm from Detroit. I grew up a really big Pistons fan. And there are certain things that Detroiters would never let go. Number one on that list is Isaiah not being on the Dream Team.
Lord.
So absolutely. I was like, I just, you know, he's saying all this great basketball stuff, talking about how if there was any player in the league that he would pay to see, it was Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're just having a basketball conversation. And I was like, you know what? For all of Detroit, for the 313, I got to ask this question. I was like, why did you keep Isaiah off the 92 Dream Team? I just straight up asked him. I was like, dude, that was wrong. He should have been on the Dream Team. And he just looked at me dead in my face, and he was like, nobody wanted Isaiah on that team. But they didn't make it back.
No lies. He said he had nothing to do with it.
Wait, no, that's what I was about to say. He said they can make me the bad guy, but nobody wanted him on that team. That's what he said. And I was just really? You just gonna hurt my feelings right in this beautiful party?
How do you feel about Carrie? Because Carrie said nobody likes Isaiah Thomas.
I know, but Carrie, it's okay for Carrie to be wrong.
All right, we have more with Jamel Hill and Carrie Champion when we come back. So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have Jamel Hill and Carrie Champion in the building. Yee.
I want to ask y'all a question just off topic for a second. We were talking about Kamala Harris and how they talk about, they're bringing up she slept with this person and that's how she got here as women in this industry, because we were all talking about this as a topic, how you get accused of things just because people are jealous, you got into a position and people just throw anything out there. So has that happened to you ladies in your career where people have accused you of things just because you're in the position that you're in?
Yes, and Angela, you can relate to this. I don't believe that it's fair, because here's the low-hanging fruit. If you are somewhat attractive, if you interview somebody, you get an exclusive, you f*** them. It's never about your resume and what you've been able to do. When I first got to ESPN, I use this as an example, and I had always experienced this my entire career. But when I first got to ESPN, Jamel, I don't know if you guys know this, Jamel was supposed to get the host job, or that's what the streets thought. And we were both up for it. So the way society likes to pin two black women against one another, and you think there can only be one, so you don't fool with other black women. Like, you grow up thinking that, which is simple, and thank God Jay didn't have that mentality. So when I got the job, and she didn't, I used to hear all this stuff about what I did to get the job, and that's why she didn't get it, and why she didn't get, you know, all this nonsense. So Jay had reached out to me and sent me an email. And when I didn't respond, she thought I wasn't fooling with her. It was because I didn't know, like she said, I'm not tech savvy. I didn't know how to work the email. So I'll own that. But she went out of her way to make sure that this narrative that two black women could live in the same space
You guys know what they did to Kamala, and I'll liken it to that. Like, why were they, all these black women who could have been VP candidates, they're comparing them. Like, she's this, that one's that. They didn't do that with white women. That's just unfair. And we buy into that as black folks. We buy into the narrative that there could only be one, and that is not true. We all can eat. And I thank her, because that was my thought process. I thank Jay for not doing that. So we finally get together and have dinner. And I remember thinking, I'm going in here, this girl about to talk. I'm not going to be her friend. She's going to be so jealous. She's going to be A, B, C, and D. And I was right about all of those things. I was clear.
You got over it, though. Right?
I got clear over it.
Up. You're happy talking.
Good, Angela. And it was, and I didn't want to be bothered, but I was like, fine, I'll f*** with her. Well, okay, tell your version of it, Jay.
So what had happened was, is that I did come on too strong from this regard. I was never jealous. I was very excited that Carrie got this job, because you guys know what a big show First Take is. And to put a black woman, you know, in the middle of two big personalities at the time of Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith, that's a huge opportunity for a woman in this business, a black woman in this business. So to me, that was the win. However, what I did make the mistake of is that I had 6 years of equity at ESPN, 6 years of time. So I'd seen a lot of things. And so sometimes, especially when you start in a new job, you need to let people experience things on their own. And then if they want to bring you into what they're experiencing, then that's cool. I just told her from the jump, because I had heard the way they talked about this particular job and what was said behind closed doors, was that, look, they are intent on having somebody who's seen and not heard. So you need to be careful about that. And, you know, I was just letting her know where the pockets of racism were. Like, I just gave her the whole full rundown, which, again, she's just starting this job. She didn't need to hear all that. You know, right. Like, I didn't need to. I felt like in some ways, you know, looking back on it, I was kind of shitting on her moment by telling her all the traps that she had to look out for. I should have maybe given her some of it, but not like all of it.
Everything she said was right. None of it was wrong. It wasn't the timing, though. All of it was correct. And whenever we found ourselves in moments, i.e. me found myself in a moment where I was just completely feeling disrespected, she would, you know, jump online and fire up a couple of tweets or have my back in whatever way. So much so to the point that, you know, one of those guys sitting on the desk used to email her and tell her she wasn't right, got mad at her, was like, why are you taking up
the hasn't spoken to me since.
Wow.
Yeah. Hold on, he had my back.
He used to text you and say that? Or email you?
No, he emailed her. He gave her a 2-page email to tell her why she ain't sh-.
Because you were defending another black woman?
Yeah, I mean, it happened when, you know, because when a lot of times when things happen on that desk, it's like Carrie will wind up taking the fall for it for no reason, no reason whatsoever. And this was during when Stephen A. Smith got into trouble for what he said about domestic violence. And the thing I tweeted was that I felt like part of the reason some of those conversations on First Take exploded into controversy is because they didn't give Carrie enough of a voice. And here you are talking about domestic violence and, you know, with Carrie not being empowered to add to the conversation, it made it harsher than it was. And so I expressed that, like, maybe y'all wouldn't be in this situation if the woman that's on the desk, you actually empowered her to use her voice to speak in situations like this. And so, I mean, look, it's only two people. I don't mind saying who it is. I mean, Skip doesn't really fuck with me. So, you know, he was
sent her a 2-page email, went off on her, got mad at her. He told her essentially he made her, and she traded on him.
He claimed what? Yeah, he claimed credit, because I'll say this, I'm just being just fair about the situation. It's like when I first started doing, you know, First Take, it was Cold Pizza then. And, you know, Skip was somebody whose opinion about this business and industry I really respected. I mean, he did take me under his wing in a lot of ways and taught me about television, because that's not something that I was really familiar with coming from a print background. So we had a very good relationship. And so when I did that, when I spoke up on Carrie's behalf, you know, about that situation, he was put out. And so he sent me a very long email saying he felt betrayed and he was on some I made you type of thing.
Wow.
And, you know, we haven't talked since.
But that's when our friendship really came into play. Like, she just had my back no matter what. Behind the scenes, tweet here and there. All that means, all that did was speak volumes to how she respected me. And as a result, I think people started to see that we were really friends and they weren't doing the comparison thing. Fast forward to when she gets in trouble, everybody's silent. Everybody's singing her praises for years, got her back, love her, everybody here, homie. Nobody was publicly, not nobody, there were a handful of people, but all those people who loved her and talked about how great and mighty she was, they were just silent. I'm tweeting, I'm saying whatever, like just saying, right, like I'm hurt, like hurt. I'm calling her at 5 a.m. I'm like, girl, how you doing? She's like, you know, unbothered, but probably upset. And I legit, like, this is the craziness. People are like, I'm gonna have to control Carrie's tweets. My tweets weren't like, f*** you, Donald. They were just like, that shit right. And then when it's all said and done, if they had to do it over again, I guarantee they would defend her. They would have her back because she was ahead of her time and she was on the right side of it.
All right, we have more with Jemele Hill and Carrie Champion when we come back, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Jemele Hill and Carrie Champion in the building. Charlamagne?
Hey, Jemele, I wonder, right, how would you handle an email like the one you got from Skip Bayless now? Would you air them out publicly? Like, what would you do?
No, I wouldn't air them out publicly. Like, it would be, I mean, this is the first time I've ever even talked about that. Like, most people don't even know that that happened. And this is not me airing it out. It's just, like, the truth of what it was is that, you know, now I probably pick up the phone and it probably would be a lot of cuss words involved. And
what cuss words would they be? one start with the M and end with the A?
Yeah. And my, you know, my thing with him was that, you know, I felt like that where our relationship was is that you could have called me, like, and we could have had that conversation face to face. And you know, beyond this, that is just the entitlement of thinking that he made me. It was just like, oh, slow down now. Like, I'm grateful for how you showed me the ropes and grateful that I was able to be on a show like First Take to expand, you know, my profile and to really, you know, kind of raise the awareness of who I was. I mean, it was all a part of a concoction of things that led to me getting the show with Mike, his and hers.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, let's just calm down on the patriarchy real fast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Granted, you know, being at ESPN, of course, when you're dealing with somebody of his profile, you have to be careful with how you check people because it's a lot of people in there. And I had another situation. I'm gonna say that one for my book. So I ain't gonna tell you.
No. I wanna bring it out in The Breakfast Club.
Don't tell them.
Would y'all have Skip Bayless on the show to address it? Like,
we would. He would never do it, but Skip is, but let's say this, the same way that she speaks in favor of Skip, I will say this. He's an incredibly complicated human, as most people who are successful in any industry, they are. There's a side of them that's very generous and loving and caring, and then there's a side of them that's very competitive and lethal. And sometimes those two get mixed up. Like, y'all work together. Y'all know how this looks. Come on, that ain't brand new.
What do you think Stick to Sports would do for women in sports and black women in journalism in general?
You know, honestly, I mean, I think the beauty of us having this show, I mean, of course, people need to see that it's possible. But, you know, secondly, I think the way we're doing it is really important to point out is that we're executive producers on this show. This show is truly built around us. So one piece of it is to get on TV. And as you guys know, another piece of it is to own a portion of what you're doing. And so that ownership component is key because, look, Carrie and I are both suffering from a little bit of PTSD from our time at ESPN, okay? And we were in a situation where, you know, working for such a huge platform is that you have very little ownership of what you do. And we both reached this point in our careers where we want to work with people and not necessarily for people. So this is a true collaboration. And you know, not only that, is that it's certain things, especially now in this time in our country, you know, we have a black woman who is, you know, the vice presidential nominee. Black women are the most educated group in the country. They're the only racial ethnic group that owns more businesses than their male counterparts in that racial ethnic group. So this is a time where a lot of black women are seizing their power. And I hope through us that they can see that they don't have to wait for somebody to acknowledge them. They don't have to wait for somebody to, quote unquote, give them an opportunity. It's the time to seize your power at whatever level you are at.
Who came up with the petty name Stick to Sports? Because that's a nice little jab at ESPN.
It was not a jab at ESPN, but like, you know, it's funny because like we had to, when the original press release dropped that had that we were doing this show together, we had a name in there that we just kind of came up with just to fit into the press release. But Stick to Sports was going to be a segment in the show, regardless of what it was named. Mm-hmm. And then the more that it circulated around the company advice, the more that Carrie and I talked about it, the more we talked about it with our production staff, it was like, oh, I think that's the name of the show. So we just kind of arrived at it from that standpoint.
I feel like this would be my favorite sports show to watch, so I'm excited. So congratulations.
We appreciate that. Although, I tell people, it's not a sports show. I mean, we are delving into a lot of different areas. Now, granted, right.
But the core of it is probably sports, and there's so much around that you can break off into also, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about pop culture, politics, news, especially with an election coming up. You know, we have a lot to discuss there. One of the reasons we had, you know, Corey Bush on the show is like, we didn't talk to Corey Bush about sports. We talked to her about, like, what she's trying to accomplish in her story. I mean, and even with LeBron, the majority of that conversation was not about sports. When we do touch on sports, it will be from a 10,000-foot view and talking about those messy intersections with race, gender, politics, culture. In that particular way.
I heard y'all did an interview with Bossip and y'all gave Jason Whitlock and Sage Steele some smoke.
Damn, Charlamagne, who is your sources?
What you saying?
I don't know if I call it professional ether. I don't know if we gave smoke. We have gone out of our way actually to not acknowledge other people when they come for us. And that should be considered grace and mercy.
You know, I think there is a professional level of respect that I give to basically any Black woman in this business who gets to whatever point, because I know how hard it is to do that. What I don't like is that when I see some of those same women who, in front of everybody else, they're presenting this picture of solidarity, but behind closed doors, they're doing
working against you
to undermine the progress of other women. And so that's what I take an issue with. Like Carrie said, this is not about anybody's politics with these two people in particular. It's about the character of who they are that I think we all question. There's a reason why they have a certain reputation in this business. That's all I gotta say.
There you go.
Is it dangerous for you though, Jamel? Because I saw D.L. Hughley got into a situation yesterday. Do people run up on you too, like Trump supporters?
No, I've never had that. And I'm glad you asked that question, Charlamagne, because this is where I remind people who might think about it, is that my husband is a legal gun owner. And that's all I can say. He's also 6'2". You can try it if you want to. I'm also from Detroit, and I wasn't always at ESPN. So you can get all the smoke that you asked for. But I've never had that, thankfully.
I tell Carrie this all the time, but I'm so proud of y'all because it took a lot of to walk away from ESPN. Like, there's so many people who will not walk away from the mighty ESPN. They think ESPN is their whole existence, is the end all be all. So for you two to step off the boat so you can walk on water is to be applauded, because folks be scared to step away. And it says that you both know your power, and I respect that a lot.
Well, thank you. We are Andy Dufresne and Red. Real quick, before we leave, I just want to congratulate you, Hall of Famers. Such an honor to be in the presence radio elite, radio royalty. Yeah, I mean, it's understated what you guys have done for the culture and just in general to have the longevity and the success. Like, just all the kudos to you guys, because that's a tremendous honor that most of us never get to sniff. So.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
All right, that was Jamel Hill and Carrie Champion. All right, keep it locked. We'll be back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed up.
So like a donkey. Yeehaw. Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Yes,
Donkey of the Day
goes to CNN's chief legal analyst, Jeff Toobin. Jeff Toobin is also a renowned reporter for The New Yorker. Jeff Toobin is 60 years old, and he's been suspended by The New Yorker, and he's asked for some time off from CNN after doing this. Let's go to Fox News with Sean Hannity for the report, please.
An unsettling incident involving CNN's chief legal analyst now off the air for allegedly pleasuring himself on a Zoom video call. Jeffrey Toobin, who's also a staff writer for The New Yorker, was suspended by the magazine for masturbating during the call last week with other New Yorker employees and WNYC radio staff watching, according to Vice News, which reports the incident came during a drill for election coverage. Vice says when the groups returned from their breakout rooms, Toobin lowered the camera. The people on the call said they could see Toobin touching himself. Toobin then left the call. Moments later, he called back in, seemingly unaware of what his colleagues had been able to see. New Yorker magazine told Fox News Jeffrey Toobin has been suspended while we investigate the matter. And in a statement to Motherboard, Toobin said, quote, I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake believing I was off camera. I apologize to my wife, family, friends, and coworkers. I believed I was not visible on Zoom.
I blame Zoom calls, bro. Zoom calls are mentally and emotionally exhausting. Zoom calls are stressful as hell, and scratching Yoda behind the ears, tossing a little egg salad, lowers blood pressure in stressful situations. Now, I'm not making any excuses for Jeff Toobin. What he did was unprofessional and totally out of line. But one out of five Americans has an anger management problem. And Zoom calls make us all angry, okay? I have to do things to mentally, emotionally prepare myself for Zoom calls. Now, personally, I would have seasoned my meatloaf before I got on the Zoom, but not on the Zoom. Okay, like I don't have a problem giving myself a helping hand. Okay, you have to discover your own potential at times, but not on a business Zoom call. Okay, I don't think any of us, male or female, can dispute the relaxing effects of turning on the sprinklers. Okay, sometimes you gotta find those clues with Fred and Daphne and make Scooby do what it do. Okay, listen to me. Masturbation fights depression. All right, back-to-back Zoom calls are depressing. Sometimes you gotta box the one-eyed champ to release that dopamine, to have the energy and strength to make it through a Zoom call. But Jeff, not like this. Okay, you can't have a menage a moi on the Zoom, all right? Jeff, I have no problem with you making Pearl Jam, but it's a time and a place for everything, okay? And the Zoom on a business call is not the place. And why does your name, your last name, why does your last name sound like a euphemism for masturbation? Toobin? Toobin sounds like something you would use to describe shaking hands with the milkman on the Zoom. And I'm sure during this pandemic, when people had to socially distance from their cut buddies, all those summer flings that didn't happen, you were away from your side chicks, I'm sure they were replaced with people playing 5-on-1 for some warm custard. But what do you call that? Okay, what do you call masturbation on the Zoom? The answer is Jeff's last name, Toobin. Okay, masturbating on Zoom calls should absolutely be called Toobin from here on out. All right, Toobin your meat on Zoom. Okay, Toobin the purple-headed yogurt slinger on Zoom. Okay, Toobin the mayonnaise river on Zoom. Toobin the hand puppet on Zoom. Listen, a lot of y'all judging Jeff for Toobin on Zoom, but you too have met the goop man at midnight on Zoom. All right, just not during a business call. All right, now back in November of 2019, Jeff Toobin was reacting to a New York Times report that Trump was briefed on the whistleblower complaint before releasing military aid to Ukraine. And Jeff's reaction to Trump is our reaction currently to him now.
He got caught.
Simple. Yes, he did get caught. Toobin for tartar sauce on Zoom. Please give Jeff Toobin the sweet sounds of the Hamiltones.
Oh, now you are the donkey of the day.
Now, let the record show, Angela Yee, because you're not in studio. Somebody in this room, all right? Mind you, it's 5 men in here. Somebody in this room earlier.
That's like a party for you.
Earlier said, what's wrong with that? When I was discussing this story.
Whoa.
When I was just throwing it around the room. I'm not. That
person didn't
Which
say,
person?
What's wrong with that?
What did he say?
He says, the suspension might be a little too far now. Let me explain why.
I hear that part.
Let me explain why.
All I heard was, what's wrong with that?
Because he
didn't. You're explaining for this person?
I'm just saying, because
how do we know it wasn't on accident? He took a break from his Zoom call. He didn't know the camera was on. It's not like he was stroking his one-eyed monster live for people on Zoom saying, watch this, watch this, watch this. He might have paused it, or he might have thought he was off for a second because he probably closed his laptop a little bit and said, hey, let me handle the one-eyed monster, then I get back to this meeting.
There's absolutely no reason to be tubing for tartar sauce on a business Zoom call. Mm.
We also don't know if he did it on purpose or by accident.
How do you not masturbate on purpose?
Only he knows that. People to see.
First of all, what do you mean? When you say not on purpose, you mean masturbating?
No, I mean for people to see. He might have done that. You know, some people are exhibitionists. Some people get turned on by people watching them.
But let's say it was an accident. Let's say he really just thought he was, pushing the camera away from his junk and wanted to get a little one-eyed monster going before the next Zoom call.
Stop saying one-eyed monster?
What do you want me to call it?
Buffing the Vampire Slayer, bro.
You can't.
Okay, it's a penis. You can say penis.
I can't say buffing the vampire?
Penis sounds way better.
But you can't stroke.
Sounds way better.
You can stroke the one I
mentioned. He was shuffling his iPod. Our producer just came in here to wrap up. The moral of the story is this, though. I think that this has been a common occurrence during the pandemic. I think it's a lot more people who have been,
Zoom accidents?
Yeah, strangling their cyclops on Zoom. We're going to call it tubing from now on. I think a lot of tubing going on.
All right, we got more coming up next with The Breakfast Club. We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Charlamagne Tha God here, and I just want to wish a Merry Christmas to all my credit card scammers out there. Tis the season to find you a scammer friend so you can save some money in any major department store in America.
Woo! The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest on the line. He's been here before, the brother Deion Taylor. Welcome back, brother.
Man, what's happening, man? Good morning.
Hey, Deion, you are a thriller-making motherfucker. You hear me? You got the new film out right now. It seemed like it's another thriller.
Yeah, it's a thriller, man. But you know what? I love trying to make the films, man, that have, that obviously are thrillers, but they have a great message inside of them. Just like Black and Blue, I feel like Fatale is like on the same level in terms of like having messaging inside of the film.
What do you enjoy most about thrillers, directing thrillers?
I love audiences, man. So thrillers and horror sometimes, really, really come off better for me because I love entertaining people. You know, when I was younger, man, going to the movies, movies always acted as escapism for me. So you got all kind of, you ain't got no money. You know what I mean? You living in the projects like I was when I was younger. You know, being able to go to the movies, man, you expect that film to transport you somewhere else. So as I got older and became a filmmaker, I always wanted to make movies that just entertain. But also with my activism, I figured out a world that on top of the entertainment, if I could put a message inside of that entertainment, then I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing as a filmmaker.
How do you judge how a movie does now? Because there's so many theaters closed. It's so difficult to show movies. I mean, I don't even know how you even finish this movie up with the pandemic. So how do you judge how successful a movie does now?
You know what? It's a lot of people slipping through the cracks, you know, because ain't no, you can't really test no more. You can't really see like, oh, man, that movie did this. And then streaming is a whole nother world now. You know, you could put something on streaming and no one knows how it does but them. You know what I mean? Fortunately for me, man, I'm you know, our film Fatale, which comes out December 18th, it is going to theaters everywhere the theaters are open. So right now there are plenty of markets that are still open, but AMC and a few other outlets are doing a great job. They have this thing called AMCtheaters.com where you can go there and basically rent out a whole theater for you, your friends, and your family. And then they got low capacity stuff that they're doing. So we're buying one, get one free ticket. And look, man, I just know what I know, which is I love films in the theater. Shortly after that, I'm sure the movie's gonna, you know, transition to a world where people can get it at home. But the theater experience, man, ain't nothing like it. And we got to be careful too, man. As African American filmmakers, it took us a long time to get our movies in the theater. A long time. Y'all don't remember it, only a couple years ago that people like Will Packer and Tyler Perry, a few other people broke that door down where we could get these movies out consistently. And now we're in a position where if we all of a sudden just start taking everything we got to streaming, when they open them doors back up, we don't want to be back in the straight to DVD box.
Right.
That's real.
I was going to ask you that. I see a lot of movies are going straight to streaming. I was going to say, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Because, you know, now people are like, F the movie theaters, we'll just go straight to streaming and not have to worry about it.
DJ Envy, you just said everything, man. I'm watching that because I know as an independent filmmaker, man, doing this last year was, you know, obviously an incredible year for me and our team here independently. We released Black and Blue and The Intruder in 1 year, both theatrically. But prior to that, man, it took me almost 10 years to get a movie in the theater, you know, where they trying to put you in this or doing a day and date type thing. So now as I look at the landscape, I'm going like, damn, man, I hope we don't go for that where all of a sudden now the next 8 months we like streaming. Then all of a sudden the theaters open back up and we don't have no films that's hitting the theater. So we got to be very mindful of that, man. So don't worry, I'm out here. That's my job. Make sure we go to the theaters.
Now, did the pandemic, Dion, how did it impact the production of this film? Because I saw you on Instagram. Y'all had the mask on and social distancing. I'm like, how'd that happen?
So I shot this film, Fatale, right before the pandemic, but then we shot during the pandemic. It's interesting, man. We were the first film to be shot in the U.S. during the pandemic. And obviously, because we're 100% Black-owned production company, man, we were out there grinding. That film is called Don't Fear, which stars Tyrese and Joseph Sikora. Mm-hmm. Terrence J is in it. That was a really dope horror film. You know what?
T.I. too, right?
T.I., yeah. After a couple of months, man, I just kind of got, you know, a little bit like, man, how do we get out here and get working, man? I always feel like the energy is don't allow the moment to control you, control the moment. And just like you guys are doing right now, man, you got to figure out a way to get through this. Otherwise, man, you sit back, you scared, you know, so that's why we called that film Don't Fear. But Fatale, which is coming out December 18th, we shot that a little bit right before the pandemic. Now, this is the big story about Fatale. It was going to be my first ever summer release. And, you know, if you're a filmmaker, you want a movie to come out in the summer. Like, that's what you're fighting for. And the pandemic hit, man. I just remember watching the NBA game and being like, yeah, what you mean the game is canceled? And then everything else just went with it.
Wow. Now, you and Michael Ealy work together a lot. Y'all getting y'all Will Packer, Kevin Hart, Spike Lee, Denzel on. Why y'all got so much chemistry?
I think Ealy is dope, man. I think he's underrated. Also, I, you know, people don't realize, you know, Ealy is a great box office draw as well. Everything he's done is successful. People go see him. But more importantly, when I had an opportunity to work with two-time Academy Award winner Hilary Swank, I was trying to think of who from the culture could I put her with that we've never seen or that would be, you know, a little bit different for a film. And Ely was the choice, man. I had just finished The Intruder with him. That film had opened number two in the world. The reviews were great. People loved seeing him in this complex type of role, different from what he, you know, the perfect guy and other things he had did. And, man, I didn't miss with this one. Ely is incredible. I mean, opposite her, you know, we wanted to put a film on a platform that could be considered like a Gone Girl or a true Fatal Attraction, if that makes sense. Something on the level where the performances are through the roof, the cinematography is through the roof, and it's complex. So what you see in the trailer is not what the film is about. Do you know what I mean? And I think he delivered on every level, man. And Hillary and him together, a few times, you know, on set, I had to be like, yo, it's incredible to see.
You thought they was gonna actually sleep with each other or something?
A couple times. No, they were always professional, man. But when actors lock in film, if you're doing it right, you know, it's the chemistry is always gonna be through the roof. You know what I mean? So they had some very hot, crazy, you know, sex scenes. They had some very crazy intimate moments. But then it's, you know, it's a thin line between love and hate, and that's what the film explores.
All right, we got more with Deion Taylor. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking in with Deion Taylor.
Now, with everything that's going on in the world, we see a lot of companies having a black initiative now, and they're doing stuff for black people and giving this. Are we seeing the same thing with Hollywood? Is Hollywood opening the door a little bit more and saying, you know what, let's get a black initiative?
Yeah, man, I think y'all know that. Y'all in the entertainment business, man, you guys see what's happening and how it's moving. I think it's only a matter of time for this to have happened. But yeah, man, we're seeing a lot of companies step out, you know, speak to the black audience, push forth, you know, black men and women into the space. And I think that's great, man. What I'm really out here fighting for is ownership, though. I think it's one thing to have a job or somebody to validate you or give you a chance. But I also think it's more important for us to be able to own and control who we are in our own brands. And what we represent here at Hidden Empire with The Intruder, Traffic, Meet the Blacks, Fatal, we own these films outright. So now what I'm doing is knocking on the door at Hollywood and saying, yo, allow me to keep distributing while also being an owner. And that's very unique and different. I can only name a couple of people that own their content. And I just want to be one of those people that can keep doing that. So I'm hoping that the market changes to where we get more people doing that. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, Envy and Charlamagne, like, we got to create libraries. If we don't have no libraries, then all we're going to be doing is repeating the same thing over and over again. It's interesting when I go to Hollywood now and I see a movie and I'm like, yo, man, I would love to remake that or rebuild that. I got to go to them for that. Do you know what I mean? So hopefully in the next 10 years, we have a world where my son and my daughter, they want to go remake Fatal or remake The Intruder. Like, you know, it's dad in the office. Like, go and do it. You know what I mean? Period.
Yeah, it's not too many that own the content outright. Like, I know you, Tyler Perry. I don't even know who else in the film world.
I don't either, man. But I mean, that's what makes it. But look, it's hard to do this, you know? Like, you know, you look at the product now where you're like, damn, look at Fatal with Hillary and Michael Ealy and Tyron Turner, and look at The Intruder and look at Black and Blue, and you look at all this stuff. But bro, I was putting 35 cents in my gas tank, you know, 8 years ago, sleeping on somebody's couch, hoping I could, you know, get a meeting with someone. And but it was all of those no's that allowed me to tell myself yes and get out here and to push. You know what I mean? And push and push. And then when the yes started to come, I didn't want those yeses anymore because I was building something else. So it's hard, man. But I think there's a lot of people out here that have amazing ideas, amazing TV ideas. And I'm just saying, pursue it. Give them one, but then give yourself two. You know what I mean?
Right. That's right. You know, a lot of actors, right? Like, it's hard for them to shake the characters of the role they played, especially when they're doing these thrillers. Do you take your work home as a director? Because you're the one that really got to live with every emotion in this film.
Yeah, always, man. I think if you're not doing that, then you're not a real artist. part of what I try to present in every film is the ability to overcome something. You know, Black and Blue, Naomi Harris, she had to overcome racism and corruption. You know, if you think about Traffic, Paula Patton had to, you know, get through that world. And Fatale was no different. Without me giving away what Fatale is about, yes, it's an erotic thriller. Yes, it's a noir thriller. But what Michael Ealy's going to go through in this film is true to form, man. Like, it's a reality that we actually live in now. So people are like, oh, man, it looks like Obsessed. And I'm like, nah, that ain't it. You know what I mean? This is a completely different animal, and it deals with some real things that we're going through in life. And he has to figure it out. So I love projects that put you in a world that you have to overcome something. And yeah, you take that home every night, man, because we overcome it right now. We're trying to figure out how to do the Breakfast Club with social distancing, and I'm on an iPad at home. You know what I mean? So we got to keep figuring it out.
I hate it. It sucks. But, you know, I got to do this for you because, you know, I want to see you do good. When Dion does good, we all do good. And Dion gives so many Black people opportunities, man. It's like, yo, we got to support Hidden Empire.
Man, I appreciate you, see. And I'm, you know, while we're on the air, man, I just want to tell you thank you. Envy, you thank you. Charlamagne, you especially, man. There's been, you know, obviously, you know, activism is a big part of my life. Working with Robert Smith, I've just been blessed to know you, man, and to have you. And for people that's out there that's listening to this show, it's important you guys know the same thing that this dude is talking, he walks it. I've been there on the ground, man, where we've been, you know, marching and putting forth efforts behind the scenes, and you picking up the phone at 4 o'clock in the morning, your time, 5 o'clock in the morning, and putting people together. So I want to just tell you, man, thank you for that, man, because it's a lot of people that I like to call imposters. Those are people that are online, on shows, that talk a good game, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, they're not doing anything. And you're one of those people that are actually really doing it, you know? I mean, and so I'm going to tell you thank you for that, man. Like, when we did Be Woke Vote, we ended up registering almost 800,000 people over 5.5 months. And you were very instrumental in helping us, giving us a voice, tapping in. I mean, we've done numerous PSAs, and I've been able to give you no money for nothing. And I just want to tell you thank you for that, man.
It's not about the money, though. It's about us moving forward as a community and as a culture. That's what it's about.
Absolutely. Period. And then when DJ Envy, man, when you getting going, man? Like, I mean, you done became the sexiest radio host in the world, man. When the show's coming back, man? What's going to happen, man? What's going on?
I mean, we got a lot of stuff in the play. You know, we do a real estate show where we teach people how to get in the real estate game and how to get in it the proper way. So that's the main thing. And also family. Like, you know, growing up, the only thing that I seen as family was concerned was the Cosby Show.
That's right.
For myself, my mother wasn't a lawyer. My father wasn't a doctor. So I couldn't relate. So the fact that, you know, people can actually turn on and say, damn, he's from the same place that I am. And he did it the right way. Yeah, he made mistakes. He had problems. But he still be able to show love to his wife and show love to his kids. But my whole thing is financial freedom and generational wealth. You know, like I said, I didn't know anything about buying a house or investing. My parents didn't know. I was the first person in my family to go to college. So my whole thing is, if I can teach my community how to do it and not get them, not charge them $10,000, but really teach them the explanation and show them this is why you need good credit and this guy can help you with your credit. And this is where you get, you know, loans from and what a hard money loan is, what a conventional loan is. And those are the things that we need to talk more about. And that's why I'm so big on it, because, you know, my first house I bought, my interest rate was 14%. You know what I mean? And you know who hooked me up with that person? Busta Rhymes, because he didn't know. So Busta Rhymes hooked me up with a guy that's all, you know, and we just didn't know. So now I'm able to help and talk people and really guide them the right way. So those are the most important things for myself, man. Helping our community, because if we won't do it, we don't help each other, nobody else will.
Man, well, you're doing a great job, man. That's why I asked, like, what's happening, man? Because we all first generation, whatever it is we're doing. When you first generation, you fall down, you bump your head, you don't know, because you can never point to anyone that has done. I don't know anyone that was a director or a writer or owned a company. You know what I mean? So now you like, damn, what do you do? How do you do this? So I'm really, really excited, man, to see what you guys are doing and what you guys are doing for the community. So that's dope, man, because don't nobody know nothing about real estate.
Absolutely. Dion, we appreciate you, my brother. And I know you offered to buy an additional ticket for people who purchased a ticket to see Fatale in theaters. How can people cash in on that free additional ticket?
Yeah, man, you go to adam.com, adamtickets.com, And yes, right now what we're doing is the opening weekend, man. If you buy a ticket to Fatal, wherever you are in the country, I'm buying you an additional ticket to go see the film. Also, please go to amctheaters.com to see how you could book out a theater. But outside of all of that, go spend the money and go see this film, man. Fatal, starring Hilary Swank, Michael Ealy, Mike Colter, that's Luke Cage, Tyron Turner. Oh, yeah, that's Kane from Menace to Society. Go see this film, man. It's incredible, and you will love it. If you love Black and Blue or The Intruder, or you like Fatal Attraction or Gone Girl, this is the movie for you to see, man. It's incredible.
Let me ask you one more question. They always say that these Fatal Attraction movies, if you've seen one, you've seen them all. How is Fatal different?
Oh, it's different in every way, man. First of all, it's a complex thriller. So it's not about a man sleeping with a woman and then she crazy. That's not what the film is about. I would also say this to that. I don't think I've repeated any type of film ever in my career where you're like, oh, I've seen that movie before. You might say that in the beginning when you see a trailer, but everyone is consistently like, no, that's a different movie. But here's the thing, man. If you think about the film business right now, we the only people do that with each, we the only ones that do that with film. How many Spider-Mans have they made?
That's
and
true.
Don't nobody say, man, it's the same Spider-Man. You know what I mean? It's like, we do that with each other, man. Any movie we make is always, oh, that's just like, you know, but I pride myself on making films that are not just like. So Fatal is completely different than anything you've ever seen. I will guarantee it. When you get in the theater, you're going to be like, oh, I did not know that was going to happen. That's what's going to happen.
Well, Deontay,
you know, we appreciate you, King.
Absolutely.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate y'all, man. God bless, man, and please be safe, and I appreciate the time.
All yes, right. Sir. My brother.
Breakfast Club is Deon Taylor, y'all.
What's up, y'all? It's Angela Yee wishing you and your family the very best this holiday season from all of us here at The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. You got a positive note for the people?
Listen, the positive note is simply this, man. There's a difference between maliciously offending somebody on purpose and somebody being offended by truth. If you're offended by the truth, that's your problem. I have no obligation to not offend you if I'm speaking the truth, okay? The truth is supposed to offend you. That's how you know you don't got it.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw him, you wouldn't even say it,
though. Come on! Breakfast Club, bitches!
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.